Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 173, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. All lands to God in joyful sounds, aloft your voices raise. Sing forth the honor of his name, and glorious make his praise. And what follows, Psalter 173, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, and can be found in Exodus 34, the verses 1 through 17. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Exodus 34, the first 17 verses. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people, I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, and nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I commanded thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal and almighty Lord God, the great creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fountain of all mercies, then thou wast granted it is thy gracious and good hand that has gathered us and our children together for the second time on this holy day of rest, and then by renewal with our unclean lips, then we attempt to draw nigh unto thee. And then how needful each time by renewal the prayer of the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And then we have heard out of thy holy word that on the mount that thou wast declared thy great and glorious name unto Moses thy servant. And then we read that he has hasted to bow himself to worship thee. And to that end, Lord, when we draw nigh unto thee, wilt thou grant an impression of thy majesty and of thy greatness, and that it may please thee to clothe us with that profound reverence and that deep humility, with an impression that we draw nigh unto thee as a company of poor sinners that have no rights and that have no merits. Lord, it is a privilege and a blessing when such a people may come to thy house that have nothing to plead upon, burdened with their sins, also with their unthankfulness and the sins of their heart, but with the prayer of Peter of old, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. and the prophet of old has declared that the desire of a soul was to thy name, and, O Lord, thou wast promised in thy word for those seeking, for those hungry and thirsty souls. Although there can be many a riddle and many a question, that thou shalt never leave them, that thou shalt never forsake them, and that thou shalt satisfy them with the abundance of thy house by the first time and also by renewal. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that are so dependent upon the administration of the Holy Spirit. It is all given good, and only what thou granteth, what cometh down from heaven, that shall surely return unto thee, and thou shalt be praised and glorified, O Lord. Wilt thou grant that in this evening hour there may be those souls that may receive a blessed portion, and that may return home with that blessed portion in humility and in praise and in thanksgiving. Lord, may there be a people that may hear their name declared. Then in this evening hour by renewal, then we hope to tarry at the bottom of the mount under thy holy law. Wilt thou grant exercises by the first time, but also by renewal? O Lord, we have heard in this morning hour of thy wonderful work, which thou shalt are doing and shall continue to do in thy church, although the times are very dark and evil. Wilt thou do it in the midst of us and our children, that there may be a great ingathering, sons and daughters, also prodigal sons and daughters, O Lord. Wilt thou forbid that our young people become such a prodigal son and daughter? O, impress upon their young hearts the great blessing to be under the external administration of the covenant, where thou wast promised to work in a special way, where thou wast promised to work from generation to generation. May the prayers be multiplied for the glorious coming of thy kingdom in a richer measure. May that also take place in this evening hour. Thou wast written in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching that sinners shall be saved. Wilt thou so convert the unconverted, and remember thy Zion also in the way of gratitude when we tarry at the foot of the mount. Wilt thou bless the means of grace in the church on the Lord's Day during the week. Bless the means of grace in the family circles, and bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help from day to day, and continue to grant traveling mercies. We commend unto thee the established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish nation, where there is war. Oh, wilt thou remember all countries where there is war, with so much death, mourning, suffering, many fears and many cares. May they be given to cry unto thee, the living God, and that it may be used for the extension of thy kingdom. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. We commend unto thee thy servants, the team, the father and mother who are learning the language. Remember all those who may bring thy word to the ends of the earth, many times impossible ways, and word is not possible from human side. Wilt thou make a way where there is no way? O Lord, remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our poor nation. Remember the leaders federally, provincially, of the cities of our town. May thy word receive a larger place and impress upon all those in authority that they shall have to give an account. We commend unto thee the organizations and also the leaders that still have respect for thy word and that are striving to uphold biblical truths and biblical morals. May it be accompanied upon the wings of prayer, and in these evil days, may it yet be blessed by thee. Lord, by renewal, we commend unto thee the many needs, and they are great, they are manifold, the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Ah, do continue to remember and uphold them, and that it all may be used for the coming of thy kingdom. Moses, the man of God, has prayed, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And when in the midst of the family circles, the immediate family circles, no empty places, may we be given to often pause and consider thy good care and thy keeping over us, where there is but a step between us and death. Lord, do remember all the elderly ones that may still go in and out, the residents of Bethesda, with those that may care for them above all things. Do save their never-dying souls. Wilt thou continue to remember the old widow in the hospital? Remember all those under the doctor's care, undergoing testing, waiting for the results with anxious hearts. Wilt thou grant them a place at thy footstool where they may tell thee everything? May all the callings be sanctified. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones? Bless the family circles, may love abound. Thy word have a special place. Those that are struggling with temptations and addictions, ah, Lord, be mindful of them, and may it please thee to help and deliver them. May we be given to pray more and more in a time when we are surrounded with so many temptations. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help. Wilt thou grant help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion? Wilt thou remember and bless all the hearers? Remember those that are ill at home, when they may listen along, grant them also a blessing. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance? Wilt thou bind the devil, give a little rest in thy house, pardon us of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 14, the stanzas 1 through 5. O Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how excellent thy name. Thy glory thou hast spread afar in all the starry frame. And what follows, Psalter 14, the first 5 stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 36, the question and answers 99 and 100. Question 99, what is required in the third commandment? Answer, that we, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us, and be glorified in all our words and works. Question 100. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing a so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? Answer, it undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Lord's Day 36 speaks of the third commandment, the commandment concerning the Lord's name, with four thoughts. In the first place, a comprehensive name. Secondly, a profane name. Thirdly, a reverence name. And fourthly, a defended name. The third commandment, the commandment concerning the Lord's name, a comprehensive name, a profane name, a reverence name, and a defended name. Beloved congregation, in this evening, for the third time, then we may tarry at the foot of Mount Sinai to hear what the Lord has to say unto us. Then we have heard the first two commandments. And how has it been, congregation? With those first two commandments, then we have heard that the Lord has given us holy law for three special purposes. In the first place, as a mirror to uncover us to our sin. And how has it now been with that uncovering? Then we have all heard that we are guilty. But how is it now with that guilt? Has it wrought something out? Or have we become so discouraged and that we think, congregation, is clear with the explanation of the law that we are so guilty we cannot keep one of them, and that we become discouraged, no use and no purpose. But that is not a solution, congregation, and it is true. If it would not be proclaimed that there was that precious Savior whereby we may be forgiven of all of our sins, if that was not written in God's Word, then we may become very discouraged, and then we could think, I do not come to church anymore because it is hopeless. But all we have heard in this morning hour, that wonderful work of the Redeemer, and that He is and He shall continue to gather His church. And now in that point of uncovering, has there now been resolution and repentance that we have come on our knees and that we have told the Lord, Lord, with Thy help, I shall do my best not to grieve Thee no more. Then the second purpose, that is as a schoolmaster to bring to Christ. And that word schoolmaster, that points to a servant that would bring little children to their teacher in school. And then what a blessing it is when the law is used to show us very clearly and very vividly that we can never keep that law, even if we could. We all have our former sins and our original sin, and that we are brought with a burden, that great and heavy, unbearable burden of our sins to the cross of Calvary. And our Heidelberg Catechism, then it is in the part of gratitude in the life of the true child of God. And now, for the child of God, concerning the law, then the greatest guilt lies in the part of gratitude. And blessed those souls, blessed those times when it may be experienced. And what we mean does not necessarily mean that the child we have heard of that shining, that a child commits greater sins after they are converted. It can be. And the child needs to pray to be kept. Let us think of David. He has committed greater sins later in his life than earlier in his life. But what we mean, because the greatness of a sin that depends upon who it has been committed against, it depends on knowledge and on experience. And it is true, when the Lord begins that good work, then it becomes, so many things become sin. Then we have sinned against the providence of the Lord, where many times the Lord leads back and shows us how He has spared us in special ways. Then we are given to see that we have sinned against all the Lord's calling, where the Spirit was given to strive with us, but where we have put it to the side. But now in the life of a child of God, in the way of gratitude, and the further that he may be led, the greater the guilt becomes. And the part of gratitude, Because then when they sin against the law, then they sin against the love of a providing and a caring Father in such wonderful ways. The Lord has said in Malachi 1 verse 6, if I'm a father, where is my honor? Then they sin against that indwelling Spirit, the comfort of the Spirit, the instruction of the Spirit. Then they sin. When they sin against the law of God, then they sin against the dying and a bleeding Savior on the cross. Oh, in the life of God's people, when they may receive such an abundant grace after they have committed so much evil, and then after having received that grace, and then to commit so much evil. And those are blessed times when a true child of God may be brought to that place, and then they shall be so humble, and then there shall be confession, and there shall be a repentance, and a fleeing to that fountain of blood, and what else? A bewilderment. That for such a sinner that transgresses so much, and then especially that evil heart, then there shall be times of bewilderment that the Lord grants such a one so much good and so many blessings. And now in this evening hour, the third commandment, the second commandment that concerns how we are called to worship, and then the children can even understand it with the worshiping of the Lord that involves much the name of the Lord. And now our first point, that is a comprehensive name, that name of the Lord that includes very much. Then in the first place, then it includes his essence, who the Lord is. In the second place, that name includes all his attributes. We have heard out of Exodus 34, the verses 6 and 7, that the Lord has declared that name of the Lord to Moses, and then spoken of many of his glorious attributes. Then in the third place, then it also includes his word, where that name is explained. And in the fourth place, then that name includes his works in providence and in grace. The Lord, he has given a name to himself, by himself, and for himself. And in that name, those names, because the Lord has many names, then the Lord is given to declare to us and our children who he is in all his wonderful works. And then the Lord has been so good that he has given a name or names to himself, that when we bow our knees or sit at the table, and there can also be times with those short prayers, in danger, other circumstances, that we have a means and a way to address the Lord. The Lord has given those names also for the comfort of the children of men. If we think of Abraham and Sarah, without their little Isaac. Then the Lord has spoken to Abram in Genesis 17, verse 1. I am the Almighty God. Then when we think of Isaiah 9, verse 6, for an Advent people with those desires, for the Lord, his communion, for the pardoning of sins for a people that cannot pay themselves. And I hope the Lord may greatly increase that number amongst us and our children, because if we do not, we can know it with our mind congregation. But the Lord teaches his people in the way of experience. And then what precious names. For unto us a son, a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Counselor, Wonderful Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father. How comprehensive the name of the Lord is. That is beautifully written in the larger Westminster Catechism. And they have worded it so. The third command requires that the name of God, his titles, attributes, ordinances, the word, sacraments, prayer, vows, lots, his works, and whatsoever else there is whereby he makes himself known, be holily and reverently used in thought, meditation, word and writing, by an holy profession, an answerable conversation to the glory of God and the good of ourselves and others. Thus a very comprehensive name. And now concerning the use of that name, then secondly, a profane name. When his name is used in vain, that is an affront to his majesty and to his holiness. There has been a man that has studied the heathens, and he has discovered that the heathens, that they would never use the name of their gods in a disrespectful and irreverent name. That word vain, that means to use it in an empty and false way. And the word profane, blasphemous, disrespectful, irreverent, sinful, ungodly, unholy, and in a wicked way. Then also in this commandment, we must always remember that there are degrees. There is a great difference whether we use the name of God irreverently in a very bold way, or whether it is our infirmity, and that the instructors have also stressed in the answer of question 100, then they have said, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the question 100. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those, and every sin is a sin, But then the instructors have mentioned against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing. Thus then the instructors make a difference whether we do it willingly, knowingly, boldly, or whether we are given to continually ask the Lord that we may use that name aright. And then the instructors, they mention different sins, cursing, also mention perjury that concerns oaths, which the instructors deal with in Lord's Day 37, and also rash swearing. Then cursing, to call upon God's name to bring harm to ourself or to others. In Acts 23, there were 40 men that have sworn oath that they would not eat or drink anything till Paul was a dead man. It also includes blasphemous words to express anger. I hope you may be kept, congregation, that we never use God's name in such a way, old and young. If a father dares to use the Lord's name in such a rash and sinful way, what shall he then dare to call his wife? If we think and we read in Jeremiah 23 verse 7, because of swearing, the land mourneth. What a terrible sin, using the Lord's name in a bold and an irreverent name, way unnecessarily, maybe in the way of anger. And then we could also mention there can be shortened forms of the name of God that we use in our conversation. We shall not mention them. Parents, you can talk with your children. Then that is also a sin against this commandment. And then further, because this commandment, as I read in Psalm 119, verse 96, it is very broad. And then it also concerns the works of God. Let us mention the weather. Sometimes the weather is bad. That is not wrong. The Lord sends it all. It can even be in a certain season that the weather is abnormal from a normal season. The Lord is sovereign. But sometimes you hear the expression of crazy weather. Then I think we can all understand, even our boys and girls, how wrong such an expression is. Because who gives, who regulates the weather? So that concerns the works of God. Then further, when we use religion in business life for our profit, we have examples in the Bible. In Genesis 34, when the men of Shechem, when they have defiled their sister, then they have said that she could only marry into that tribe if they would be circumcised. And then those two brothers of Jacob, they have murdered all that people. Ahud, a judge, went to the king of Moab And he said, I have a message of God to thee. And he had a dagger and he killed the king. Absalom, when he desired his brothers to come for a feast, then he told his father David that he had made a vow to the Lord, but he wanted those brothers so he could kill his brother Adonijah, what he has done to his sister Tamar. Then also, when we mock with the things of the Lord, the people of God, think of those children, those 42 children, who have mocked with the prophet Elijah, and the Lord has sent two bears to kill them. Thus it concerns, as we have heard from the Westminster Catechism, the ordinances of God, the house of God, the service of God, everything what is connected with the service of the Lord. Then further, our religious duties. And then we do not have to say so much. Then how guilty we are, and even especially office bearers, concerning our prayers, our reading, our singing, that we use the name of the Lord reverently, and then how often we use it thoughtlessly, form and duty, then I think our boys and girls can even understand. Then we need to ask the Lord each time when we read the Bible. I hope our boys and girls, when they can read, they always read their Bible when they go to bed. And then we need to ask the Lord, Lord, wilt thou take away those wandering thoughts, that we may read it attentively, thou art speaking to us. Open our heart for thy word, and also with our prayers. And then, of course, we do not have to stay with boys and girls. How guilty we are, and that respect, maybe the thought can even arise, maybe it is better that I quit. Because with my praying and with my reading and with everything connected with the service of the Lord, I only multiply my guilt. But is our guilt not even greater when we omit those duties? When we do not open God's word where he is speaking to us? When we do not pray where he has commanded that we must pray and must sing? Then further, then concerning this commandment, then we could even say that each sin that we commit, that the name of the Lord is blasphemed. Because Paul has written to the Romans in Romans 2 verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Thus each sin which we commit with our baptized forehead, especially when God's name is dishonored, then it is a sin against the third commandment. Then we have heard from the Westminster Catechism that they have also spoken of the casting of lots to decide a matter. And James Durham, a Puritan, has written concerning those lots that when lots are cast, it must be a weighty matter. It must be a necessary matter, which cannot be decided in a proper way otherwise. And it must be accompanied with prayer, a calling upon the name of the Lord. Thus the sins, they are manifold, they are great, but I repeat, as the instructors have stated, whether there are endeavors, whether it becomes our sorrow, whether it brings us on our knees, that we are given to ask the Lord that we may use that holy and majestic name aright, can even be that the devil, our old fathers have spoken of those things, that the devil, that he can cast the most blasphemous cursing into a mind of a person, and that such a soul can be so troubled, so bowed down, afraid that they have committed the sin against the Holy Ghost. And then our old fathers, also Brakel, he has explained it so. Whether that is our sorrow and our burden, and whether we endeavor to our utmost that they enter not into our mind. And then he has explained it this way. People living in a house, and that there are people that throw many stones through the windows. And when such an inhabitant does his utmost to board those windows up, then they are not guilty. There are a few souls struggling with those things. May it be for instruction. But now in this commandment, we are not finished yet. The instructors have spoken of other matters, the proper use, a reverence name. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 422, the stanzas 4 and 5. The host of heaven, O God, acclaim thee, Lord, alone, and greatly fear thy name above all above thy throne. Who is there like to thee throughout this vast creation? Jehovah, Lord of hosts, the God of our salvation. And what follows? 422, 4 and 5. The third commandment, the commandment concerning the Lord's name, a comprehensive name, a profane name, and now thirdly, a reverence name. And to that end, it is necessary to know that name, necessary to love that name. Because when we love that name, then we shall become jealous for that name. And then our instructors go further, and then they have said, nor by silence. Thus that means congregation. When we hear our neighbor use the name of the Lord in vain, that we are given to speak, not to stand above them, in love, that we try to instruct them, and that the Lord, that prayerfully we may ask the Lord that we may receive freedom. And how often we excuse ourselves that it is not the right time, not the right opportunity, but the instructors have written by silence. To that end, also the responsibility of employers, when they hire employees, that they make it clear that under their jurisdiction, that the name of the Lord may never be used in the way of cursing, swearing, or irreverently. The Lord remember those employees who work in a worldly workplace where, alas, the name of the Lord is misused. The Lord grant courage, strength, and wisdom. Then the instructors have also said, or connivance. That word means to give aid, to give reasons. It is an awful thing that we are the reason while our neighbor uses the name of the Lord in a sinful and a wrong way. Nathan has said to King David, after he has taken Bathsheba and murdered Uriah, that David has given reasons that the name of the Lord would be blasphemed. And when it is right, that should lie so tender. When that holy name, then we need to pray that the Lord may keep us in all our ways. And yet we are not finished, because the instructors, they continue, and briefly, that we use the holy name of God. Thus it is implied in those words. When we do not use the holy name of God, when we are silent, then we are also guilty and not to preach. But how often it is, maybe under special blessings, special dealings, and that we speak with our neighbor, and then our neighbor leaves, and that it comes to us that the name of the Lord was not even mentioned. It was the sin of Hezekiah. In Isaiah 39, the messengers of Babylon have come to him after he was healed of his sickness, and he showed all his goods, his riches, but he was silent concerning the things of the Lord. And then the instructors that we use the holy name of God, no otherwise than with fear, the childlike fear, and reverence, as so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us and be glorified in all our words and works. Thus that means confession and our walk. The first petition, hallowed be thy name. Our forethought, a defended name. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing as so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing. Thus we repeated congregation, the instructors have also made a difference. This very clear in the explanation of the third commandment that we are very guilty in so many respects. Woe unto us that we have sinned. But the instructors, they make the separation and the difference. How do we live with the sin against the third commandment? Does it bring us on our knees? Are there times after we have prayed that we go on our knees again and say, "Ach, Lord, it was not even a prayer. Wilt thou pardon? Wilt thou fill me with that holy awe and with that reverence?" And that's concerning scripture reading, singing. It is very wide and very broad. Thus then the instructors, they are especially given to speak for those that knowingly, willingly, and boldly use the name of the Lord in a wrong and irreverent way, that the Lord is very angry. And then the answer, it undoubtedly is, for there is no greater or more provoking, there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. We have heard out of Exodus 34 that the Lord is jealous of his name, and therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Have examples in the scripture. Pharaoh has stated, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let the children of Israel go?" In Leviticus 24, we read of a son of an Israelite woman that is blasphemed, that is cursed, and it was heard. and the Lord has commanded that that son must be stoned and put to death. All the children of Israel were guilty of the sin against the third commandment, the one more or less, but that boy, when he has openly cursed the name of the Lord of Jehovah, he must be put to death. I think of Rabshakeh, the general of Sennacherib, who was mocked with the God of Israel. The Lord has sent an angel, 185 were slain. Think of Belshazzar, that he has taken the vessels, the temple from Jerusalem, and made a wicked feast, the writing on the wall, weighed in the balances and found wanting, and therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. In our congregation, we have started the threefold purpose of the law, uncovering a schoolmaster to Christ, and in the way of gratitude. Has there now been a beginning with that uncovering? Has also the sin against the third commandment, has that become a heavy burden? Have we experienced that godly sorrow? Ah, the Lord is so good and so merciful and so long-suffering. He grants so many blessings. And then to use that name in a wrong and a light way. And then to learn with all our endeavors. Ah, Lord, a sinner still. James 3, verse 2. And many things we offend, and yet sin needs to be pardoned. And to that end, what a blessing it is. A deeper uncovering, that it may be used as a schoolmaster to bring at the foot of the cross the burden of our sin, also the sin against the third commandment, that room is made in our hearts for him, the only begotten Son of the Father, who was come upon this earth, busy in his Father's business, and who has always used the name of his Father perfectly, reverently, has never sinned against the third commandment. And yet, in the hall of Caiaphas, there he was accused of blasphemy, the sin against the third commandment. And then Caiaphas and the council has said that he is worthy of death. And he was brought to the cross. And in that way, for poor and for needy sinners, also burdened and troubled with the sin concerning the third commandment, oh, it can be our silence, but for those troubled souls, oh, then he may be declared who was white and ruddy and the chiefest among 10,000s, that he has taken the sin of all his people, also the sin against the third commandment, that he was willing to be that sin-bearing surety. He has died, he has cried out, it is finished. And to that end, there is forgiveness, there is pardoning for the sin against the third commandment. We read in Psalm 9, verse 10, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Amen. Let us close. Lord, when we nearly come to the end of another Lord's Day, then we also need to ask pardon in the performance of our duties in this day, that they may be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. And then by renewal, then we have heard from the youngest to the oldest how guilty we are, and yet a difference whether there are those true endeavors, whether there is that godly sorrow also concerning the sin against the third commandment, concerning thy holy name, and the urgent need that it may be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Ah, Lord, work then lovingly and irresistibly. Wilt thou remember everything that has been planned in this week, the consistory meeting? Wilt thou gather with us, and also the male members meeting pertaining to the welfare of this portion of thy vineyard, Lord? Wilt thou grant faithfulness to attend, and may it be accompanied by prayer. May there be sires in the dwellings. Wilt thou remember the coming Sabbath day? Wilt thou graciously help and provide grand traveling mercies? Wilt thou so keep us in the home, on the way, at work, at school? Keep us under thy good care and protection, ah, Lord. Take none of us away unexpectedly, but above all unprepared. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Bring us now safely to our homes. Watch over us in this night. Gather the catechism classes together tomorrow evening. Forgive us of all of our sins also against the third commandment. In this very day, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 319, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Give thanks and praise to God above. Everlasting is his love. Praise him, ye saints, your Savior, praise. Forever good in all his ways. And what follows, Psalter 319, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.